Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
Welcome to Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The Colosseum in Rome, the Taj Mahal in India, the Sphinx in Egypt. Ancient sites considered central to their region's culture. Cultural heritage, though, doesn't fall solely on ancient sites. Think of the Eiffel Tower in Paris, or here in Texas, Brownsville is home to the site of the first battle in the U.S.-Mexican War. Green Hall is the oldest dance hall in the state of Texas. San Antonio famously has the Alamo and the four missions that make up the San Antonio Missions National Historical Park. These sites don't conserve themselves. They're in danger of deterioration from climate change, natural disasters, population growth, and development. They're still standing, in some instances just barely, because of scientific research and because of decisions by policymakers that determine whether they stand or fall. The University of Texas at San Antonio has been delving into the three-century-plus years of cultural heritage of South and Central Texas. William DuPont is the founder of the university's Center for Cultural Sustainability. He's an architect and expert in heritage conservation. His work informs how communities, designers, and policymakers use that heritage. His previous work includes advising colleagues in Cuba on how to best conserve Ernest Hemingway's estate in Havana, Cuba. Joining DuPont on Fronteras today is Angela Lombardi. She's an associate professor in the Department of Architecture at UTSA and coordinator of its historic preservation program. She's worked on conservation projects in her native Italy, including the Cathedral of Siena and Renaissance-era painted facades in Rome. She's also worked as a preservation architect for archaeological sites in Lebanon. San Antonio commemorated its tricentennial last year. DuPont says the area is rich in heritage and is an ideal place for his research.
At the present moment, San Antonio is the best place, perhaps in the world, to be doing research and projects in historic preservation. There's an amazing confluence of events and people and heritage that's happening here. And it's terribly exciting. I hope my voice conveys that excitement and the passion that we have for this. When I got here and I looked around and I saw what was available and the potential for it and the fact that the university wanted us to get deeper and pursue as much as we could sponsored research projects, and they were asking me to create a research center, I thought about that. I engaged a lot of people locally in San Antonio, and we determined to name it a Center for Cultural Sustainability so that it would consider the continuity of cultural systems of human existence. We have a fabulous opportunity to study that here in San Antonio because people are part of the place. It's not just about buildings here. It's about the people. And so when we look at places like our World Heritage Site, the UNESCO World Heritage Designation for the San Antonio Missions, they're deeply connected to the people that live in San Antonio, that live around the missions, in the mission communities, that have grown up with the missions, that call these places part of their ancestry. And that doesn't exist in a lot of other places. And we have a fabulous opportunity to study it here because it was written into the UNESCO World Heritage Designation. So we call that intangible heritage. And it's not just the physical things. It's these things that are connected to people's memories and their beliefs and their spirituality. That's what's really important about historic preservation, and we have that opportunity to teach it here in San Antonio.
Well, Dr. Lombardi, you have an international approach to a lot of the work that's being done here in San Antonio. And of course, in Italy, in the Middle East, you have centuries and centuries of history. And you compare that to San Antonio, which doesn't quite have as much, but there you can still put a few centuries under the belt. But how does your approach to historic conservation in San Antonio compare to some of the work that you've done overseas?
Well, I always say that it's not the number of years that heritage has. Heritage is about memory. So memory of a place that can be 50 years old or can be 3,000 years old. So the problem is a little bit to reconstruct what are the elements of memory that we want to keep and we want to bring to the future. So in these terms, the approach is never changes because the most important element to do is to investigate what are the unique features of the heritage that we are working on it and we want to preserve for the future. So we need to really investigate the culture, understand what are the values related with the heritage, and values changes all the time. Each places has unique features. So I think that the most important work is really to embrace the place and all the characteristics. So traditionally, historic preservation started with a sort of aesthetic approach, only beautiful buildings or beautiful features of the landscape were preserved. Today we look not only at the aesthetic aspect and also the historic aspect, but also we look at what is so-called cultural, that, as Professor Dupont was mentioning, involve the intangible, but actually involve what sometimes is called the spirit of the place, that we really need, as historic preservationist, needs to grab, to be able to grasp it, to explain what it is in order to keep intact for the future.
And for example, you both, we talked previously a few months ago about your work on one of San Antonio's missions. You're trying to provide research to give an architectural firm information on how to best air condition the facility without degrading it. So there's an example, I think, of being able to historically preserve a place while it's still being actively used. And Professor Dupont, is that just one of the examples that is going on here in San Antonio, for example, where you are working with, yes, a historic structure, but it's mm-hmm. it's still a living structure, essentially?
Yeah, that living aspect is terribly important. Buildings that are in active use are always going to be better preserved and better loved and better understood. And so we have that with our missions, and Mission Concepcion is no exception. And our colleague, Dr. Antonio Martinez Molina, is leading that project regarding the climate conditions and the sort of human comfort of the interior of the church, while also making sure that we consider the technical side of it so that the walls of the building are properly cared for. And so that study's in process, but it's a great example of how we have to consider the resilience of a building along with the capacity of the users to engage with the building and continue to use it. And things have to change over time. People's expectations of interior climate comfort, for example, have changed dramatically since the time when the building was built. And now air conditioning is necessary, and it's essential in order for that ongoing use to happen. And that ongoing use is essential because without the congregation, it's not a church. It's just a building of stones.
Dr. Lombardi, this particular instance of the mission and perhaps being degraded by parishioner use, air conditioning, that's just one example, I think, of how time and technology could eventually lead to degradation of this cultural preservation. So how is it that you are working to try to accommodate not just maybe population growth, but, you know, climate change? There are natural disasters that can also affect these historic sites. How is it that you maybe want to think ahead to try to work on cultural preservation in light of all these sort of external factors?
Well, the question is pretty complicated, and the answer would be pretty long. So, first of all, thinking of the missions, we were saying that this building were not designed to have air conditioning. So, right now, present use of technology is an essential part for living in indoor climate. We need it. And so, we really need to understand what are the damages that this technology may provide to the structure. So I think it's a process of negotiation. Negotiation meaning that people probably will need to be adjusted to a temperature that is not the one that they usually may have in their home or in a brand new building. And in this way, the structure will be less damaged, so will use longer. So I think that is a process where people and the environment in general knows better each other's. I think that right now we live in an era where there is a sort of disconnection with the environment. So I think that heritage structures and heritage places are a way to reconnect people with our environment, not only in terms of memory, because, you know, fragment of matters, fragment of buildings, ruins, bring us to memory of the past. So I think that the reconnection works also with a more respectful relationship with, I would say, nature, but also with the cultural landscape that is a mixture between nature and built environment that was built by our ancestors. So I think that this is the future. We as professionals, we have to identify technical aspects sometimes. Heritage is a sort of mixture between humanity and science. But at the end, I think that there is a lot to teach and a lot to learn from heritage places that maybe could teach us a different connection with the environment.
We are talking cultural heritage with Angela Lombardi, associate professor in the Department of Architecture at the University of Texas at San Antonio and coordinator of its historic preservation program. We're also speaking to William DuPont, coordinator of the Center for Cultural Sustainability in UTSA's College of Architecture, Construction and Planning. When we come back,
it's about the people. And people have heritage identities and values that bind them to places.
More on cultural heritage next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Cultural heritage is a fragile thing. How does one decide what improvements need to be made to the Sphinx in Egypt to keep it from crumbling into the desert sands? How do you air condition a historic Catholic mission without deteriorating the architecture? And how do you decide whether a structure or site is no longer worthy of preservation? Careful choices have to be made. Those choices are made by policymakers who act upon recommendations made by researchers. Some of those researchers teach at the University of Texas at San Antonio. Angela Lombardi is associate professor in the Department of Architecture at UTSA and coordinator of its historic preservation program. William DuPont is the director of the Center for Cultural Sustainability at UTSA and is the San Antonio Conservation Society endowed professor there. DuPont says he's faced tensions when presenting his research to policymakers who might disagree with his findings.
When we have to make choices about how we use heritage, heritage is a resource. We call it a cultural resource, and we even refer to the term cultural resource management as a professional field where we're trying to understand how to best manage a cultural resource for the future. And we have to make hard choices sometimes, and politics do come into play. Political values are in play with heritage resources, and they have to be considered. Now, when you ask me the question about are there tensions, I would say yes, but how I address and resolve those tensions or interact with them depends on how I'm invited into the discussion. If I'm, you know, coming in as a professional that's assisting a client with the needs of their building, then I'm going to be very much in tune with their value set that's motivating them to preserve the heritage. If the city is asking me to advise them on, you know, the best choice for heritage resources in San Antonio, and I'm taking a big picture, broad view, then I might be thinking in a master planning mode and trying to ascertain, okay, how much of, you know, things do we need here and there? Naturally, my inclination is going to be wanting to save everything. Yet, that's not appropriate. Things have to grow, things have to change. So that's why when I define historic preservation, I always say it's a process of managing change with respect for the historic context. And the way that you respect the historic context can vary depending on the project and the needs, because it's a value-based proposition at the outset. Historic preservation, as it is a process of determining what is the contemporary value of the heritage now, and then we're going to make choices about how we're going to respect it and care for it into the future.
Well, there is a lot of attention now being placed on maybe the preservation not of buildings such as missions or churches or old historic sites, but of neighborhoods. And I'm thinking particularly of the west side of San Antonio, where there's a lot of development. And I know development also has a lot to play into even some of the more recognized sites. But Dr. Lombardi, do you have any thoughts on how perhaps your research into heritage preservation and cultural preservation might play into, the saving of neighborhoods, the little grocery store where everybody went to go shopping when they were little, or that great little music hall where their grandparents met?
Well, this is what we call historic neighborhood. And this is a very much debated topic right now in the conservation field, because we have understood that preserving buildings is not enough, or preserving elements of the landscape or in a neighborhood is not enough. We should really be able to keep the local population over there and to keep some traditional retails over there. And these can be only done through a community engagement, because on one side there is the natural transformation of the city, and if new residents arrive in a neighborhood because they find it attractive, these new residents can spark a process that is usually called gentrification. And gentrification is also connected with the displacement, maybe, of the original residents that have a lower income. So this is a very much debated topic. I don't think that the right medicine has been found yet, but we really work with the community to support really the preservation of the cultural aspects of this neighborhood. It's not easy.
Yeah, I would say it's about the people. And people have heritage identities and values that bind them to places. And so when you mention the memories that people have about a corner store or the place where they met their future husband or wife, or a dance hall, those are places that are connected to the individuals and families and communities. And they all work together. And so when we have issues of economic growth and development that are threatening to the lifestyle and the quality of life that people are enjoying in a community, it's an economic threat. The displacement aspect of gentrification, the displacement of people, is what's at issue here. Other aspects of gentrification don't concern me so much as the displacement. And the displacement is an economic issue, not really a preservation issue. And there are ways to combat it, and preservation has some tools that can help, but we have to keep in mind that it's not really a pro or a con or a fault of historic preservation. It's an economic issue. And the economic issue is driven by how the economy works in a particular place. So this displacement phenomenon could be worse in other states which have different ways of taxing their people. In Texas, we have property tax. And so the property values go up, people's taxes go up, and there's the economic pressure for displacement. If we didn't have property tax and we had, like other states, have an income tax, then the economic issues would be completely different.
It's a public policy issue. So we move from a discipline to another discipline that is more public policy. And for right now, it's very important that professionals from different fields work together in order to find solutions. And also to understand the cultural aspects of neighborhood, we need also to have a perspective from different professionals too. So Professor Dupont and I, we are trained as architects, but maybe it would be also to have anthropologists, cultural anthropologists that work in the city to understand these intangible aspects of the neighborhood, and then it really needs to be enhanced, understood. I don't want to say preserved, because there is a process of natural transformations of these aspects. So I think that many actors enter into play, and this is the reason I was mentioning it's a sort of community engagement process.
We've been speaking with Angela Lombardi, Associate Professor in the Department of Architecture at the University of Texas at San Antonio and coordinator of its Historic Preservation Program. William DuPont is the San Antonio Conservation Society Endowed Professor at UTSA and is the founder and director of its Center for Cultural Sustainability, which, according to its website, explores the continuity of the cultural systems of human existence. DuPont and Lombardi have more to say about their research at UTSA, including involving students in their work. Hear that conversation at tpr.org. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show under the Programs tab on our website, tpr.org, and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Lauren Terrazas. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our digital content producer is Bree Kirkham. Fernando Ortiz Jr. is our editor, and Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.